Good morning. If you would like, turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy for a wonderful writing of Paul regarding our scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17. Words that you have often preached from or shared in membership classes with people. Hear the word of the Lord. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. The word of the Lord to us this morning. When we seek a charitable discourse, a holy conversation over the divisive issues that confront the church in a very complex society today, eventually that conversation comes down to, how do you read this book? It always ends up there in some way or the other. Because two people can take the very same Bible, and one of them can justify social drinking while the other staunchly defends abstinence from alcohol. One will affirm women preachers while the other says this book says no. One will use this book to declare that tongues are God's innate ability for us to be able to speak and hear in other languages, while others will say it is an ecstatic experience that comes as gift of God. One will say that we immerse people for baptism, and others will say, no, we sprinkle them. One will say the dead are asleep in Christ awaiting the resurrection, and the other will say, oh no, they are active around the throne of God, very prayerful at that very throne. And you find that Christians can take the very same book and reach very different conclusions from one another. Out of one book, we have Catholicism, we have Eastern Orthodoxy, we have the Anglicans, the Episcopalians, the Methodists, we have the Reformed folk and the Baptists, we have the Charismatics and the Pentecostals, the Moravians and the Pietists, and the Independents who believe we're all wrong. We have all of these out of the same. And we let ourselves down in the same book, and then we try to use this book to talk about our differences with one another. And soon how we read it becomes very evident and obvious. I've thought every great movement seeks to find infallibility somewhere. The Catholics have found it in an infallible papal authority. The Reform movement has found it in an infallible text and has spent much of their existence defending the accuracy of that text and the authority of that text. Wesleyans, I think, have sort of let ourselves down in an infallible experience. This experience whereby the sanctifying work of God cleanses the heart and makes us holy, and there is the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons and daughters of God, and we speak of this experience of the sanctifying grace of God being core to who we are. We're all looking for some ground to stand on that we can say, here I stand, I can do no other, and we find ourselves to these interpretations of Scripture. So, how do we read the Bible? What is it that we mean when we say a scriptural authority? N.T. Wright has written a wonderful book on the authority of Scripture. I would highly recommend it to you. And he says that we go wrong when we stop by saying the authority of Scripture, and we try to locate all authority there. He said what we really need to talk about is the authority of the God who is revealed to us in Scripture. That ultimate authority does not rest in text alone, but it rests in the one who breathed his word into existence for us. And that this book, apart from the Spirit of God, and apart from the breath of God, and apart from the reality that the God who speaks this is just as involved in the reading of this book, it is the authority of this God which is central to us in every way. The Scripture's breath in them is the work and activity of God in every way. Even when we find in the New Testament that this word authority is used, which gives us some indication of what kind of authority God is most interested in, it is that when Jesus goes into the world, He heals the sick. The lame men walk. The little dead girl gets up. The demonized man is delivered and he goes home to his family. And the gospel is spread to the nations and power comes upon people who are gathered in an upper room. It is an authority which does the work of God in the world. We don't find this concept in the Bible of authority being the kind of concept that enables us to prove that we are correct and someone else is wrong, or to win a doctrinal debate or having the right doctrine. So when the authority of this book becomes for us the bullets in our gun so that we can go into a theological debate and win, we are not talking about authority as the Word of God speaks of authority. We are the authorized servants of God to go into the world and do the work of God by the power that is entrusted and given to us. It is this authority that we are deeply, deeply interested in. The authority we seek is the transforming power of God, not to try to find enough proof text in the Bible to win a particular argument. Now, very sadly, while modernism gave us many, many great gifts, it has also done a number on us when it comes to teaching us how to read the Bible. Modernism, at its core, was the great scientific age in which humans learned to take things apart and then put them back together again. We were able to take the atom and split it and then reconfigure and get atomic energy and bombs and things like this. We learned to dissect the human body and figure out how all the different parts were intricately connected. We were able to take the egg and the sperm in a petri dish and learn, okay, how is life formed here in this particular moment? We took little computer parts and molecules and electronic particles and computer chips, and we took all of these things, and out of these small parts, our ability to tear the world down to that which is so small. Then we discovered, okay, now that we have mastered tearing things down to their smallest pieces, now we can take the pieces that we want and put them back together again to create what we want to create. And humankind within modernism became drunk on its own power, our power to create. Now, I will say to you, we created many, many good things that serve many, many good people. And I'm not anti-science at all. But at the same time, we began to learn how to approach things in a very different way than the people who were alive at the writings of these texts, the way that they approached it. They lived in a very narrative world, and we lived in a very particle-oriented world, putting things back together again. So when it came to the scriptures, and the leading people were German theologians, the whole movement of historical criticism began to take the scriptures and figure out, okay, how do we figure out what is authentic and what is not? What is the date of this writing? Who wrote it? What are the different theories about it? And the Americans followed just like that. I mean, we were right on the heels of this whole sense of, oh, so this modern capacity to break something down to its bare pieces and then choose the pieces that we want and put it back together again, we begin to do this with Scripture, which means that we learn the capacity to treat the Bible as an object. And you know how we read it. We read it with us up here and the Bible down here. We read down, which means we placed ourselves in authority over it. Out of that came a very popular sermonic form, the three points. And no longer was Scripture a narrative story that was a whole. Now we would look at the story and we would pull out the pieces that we wanted. And we would put those pieces back and we would say, oh, my creation, a sermon. Look, I have a sermon. And what we went to on Sunday morning to our congregations with was quite often the Word of God, but it was really our selective choice of three things we liked about that particular text. And there were moralisms that were attached to that, and we offered that back to our people. And the Word of God became no longer the story that forms us, but the result of our taking it apart, studying it carefully, and then putting it back together again. Now, I must say, historical criticism has given us some wonderful gifts in biblical scholarship, and it is a piece of how we study Scripture. But very sadly, if all we do at the end is pull the pieces out that we like and put them together in a sermon, somehow we have had authority over the Word instead of the Word having authority over us. Let me try to illustrate this in a different way. Do I have any Star Trek fans in the congregation? Any out there? Just a few. Okay, I've watched Star Trek from the very beginning. Captain Kirk and Spock and Scotty and the whole group, all the way through to the last Star Trek Enterprise and everything they had. The spaceship in Star Trek, when it began years ago as a series, it had a unique capacity. It had the capacity to scan another spaceship, another vessel. And it could scan that other vessel, and it knew how many life forms were on, whether their weapons were turned on or not, whether they had their shield up or not. It could scan into this vessel, and it could tell all kinds of things about it. By the end of the series, you know, years later, the last Starship Enterprise, with all the technology and everything that had been added to it, it now had a very different capacity. Yes, it could still scan other vessels, but it could detect that it was being scanned. It could detect that another was reading it. Now, what I'm interested in the reading of Scripture is not so much my ability to stand up here and scan this, but my ability to read Scripture in a way that I place myself under it and I can detect that I am being scanned by it. So that when I approach the Word of God, it is not only about me exegeting Scripture, but it is about Scripture exegeting me and my culture and my world and my town and my relationships and the way economy works in our city and the way the poor are cared for and the way justice is done, so that Scripture has authority over us once again instead of us having authority over it. This is how we are called to read the Word of God in these kinds of ways. I want to read to you just a brief piece of Herman Melville's book, White Jacket. I think you'll catch this. In Herman Melville's novel, White Jacket, one of the sailors takes sick with severe stomach pains. Dr. Cuticle, the ship's surgeon, is delighted finally to have a patient with something more challenging to his art than blisters. He diagnoses appendicitis. Several shipmates are impressed into nursing service. The deckhand is laid out on the operating table and prepared for surgery. Dr. Cuticle goes at his work with verve and skill. He makes cuts with precision. And on the way to excising the diseased organ, he points out all the interesting anatomical details to the attendants around the table, points out all the body parts and the pieces and how they work. These sailors had never before seen the interior of an abdomen. Dr. Cuticle is absorbed in his work and obviously very good at it. All in all, it is an impressive performance. But the sailor attendants are, to a man, not impressed, but appalled. The poor patient, by the time he has been sewn up, has been a long time dead on the table. Dr. Cuticle, enthusiastic in his surgery, hadn't even noticed. The sailors, shy in their subservience, didn't even tell him. All too easily, what began as living breath becomes as dead as a cadaver, and we are left to poke, probe, dissect, analyze, and autopsy. And like Dr. Cuticle, many of us were never aware of the moment when the breathing stopped. This is the inspired Word of God to us. God has breathed His Word to us in every way. So when we seek a holy conversation on controversial issues, let's not go to the table with a Bible that we will use as a weapon to beat another person, but let's go to it as those who are humbly willing to open the Scriptures, stand under them, be exegeted by them, hear the Spirit still speaking to us in this day, this time, this culture, this context, out of these Scriptures, and see what God might say among us. I think John Wesley's practice of going into the world, riding on horseback, in the middle of humankind, with the Bible opened on his lap, was a beautiful picture of how we are to live in the middle of this world, allowing it to interpret Scriptures to us, even as the Scriptures interpret the world to us. And knowing all the while that we are being scanned by the one who breathes this word to us, and he is exegeting our own lives in every way. May God give us grace to be a people who live humbly under the authority of God as revealed in Scripture, rather than being arrogant know-it-alls who use this book to pound on the heads of other people when we talk with them. May God grant us grace to humbly live under the book, and maybe to begin to read it like this again, and know that the one who inspired it is scanning our very lives, and he has gifts for us if we know that we're being scanned. Could I pray with us? God, who has gifted us with a sacred text that has, down through the years, revealed to us the story, the history, the character of you, our great God. You could have written it in your own hand and dropped it down to us from heaven in a parachute. One of us could have discovered it. We wouldn't have had all of these different authors whose grammar is different, whose culture is different. And yet you chose, through the mechanism of man himself, to inspire this word to us. Sometimes it debates itself, this book. We like some writers better than others. Sometimes it seems to knock on our door and find us at home, and sometimes it seems ages from here. But God, who knows us, and God who loves our world, and God who cares for our people and our cities and towns, would you speak to us and breathe once again, so that these words, which were first speakings, which became hearings, which became writings, which have become readings, would you speak to us again, so that when we read the Scripture and we speak, we may give it breath again in a way that pleases you and honors you and is in your likeness. In the name of Christ Jesus, the living Word, which exegetes the written Word. In his name we pray. And everyone said, Amen.